Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we need to understand something here about tradition, because tradition that men add to it, be it Catholic, be it Protestant, be it Jewish, be it any other religion, is null and void. And the Pope does not have the power to change the Word of God, which he has done over and over again because he's living in sin and transgression. There is nothing holy about him or any of the Sunday-keeping preachers. Now, you might say, well, that's quite a statement. Well, what is it then if it's not that? Let's see what Jesus said about tradition, Mark the 7th chapter. We've covered this. Because the Jews came to Jesus and said, well, how come your disciples do not keep the traditions of the elders? Here's Jesus' answer. Notice, he quoted Isaiah. That's in the Old Testament. And what do most Sunday keepers say? Well, that's been all done away. Or that's for the Jews only. We don't need to do that. No. That is another lie. All right, let's read it. Verse 6. And he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites as it is written. Now notice carefully, this is what happens every Sunday. Even every Sabbath in the Jewish synagogues. Because they reject Jesus, the most they could possibly have is only half of the story. Concerning you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips. Nice words. But their hearts are far away from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, what happens when you teach the commandments of men? Sunday keeping, Christmas keeping, Halloween, Easter, New Year's are all traditions of men coming from the pagan religions of Babylon and Greece. So let's read it. Verse 8. For leaving the commandments of God, you hold fast the traditions of men, and here in this case, such as the washing of pots and cups, and you practice many other things. But here's the key, what happens when you have traditions. Then he said to them, full well, do you reject the commandment of God so that you may observe your own tradition? Whatever that may be. No, that won't work. Now then, let's see how binding the Sabbath is for those who are Christians today. Let's come to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Now, here is a chapter where a lot of pastors and Protestant teachers say that Jesus kept the Sabbath for you. Really? Where does it say anywhere that Jesus kept any law in place of our obedience? Doesn't. Here in the 4th chapter, we find something very interesting. Now, many people don't understand it, but the Jews and the children of Israel, and remember there were 12 tribes of the children of Israel, there were not just the one tribe of the Jews. And you need our book, America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny, so you can understand what's going on in prophecy and in the world. And if you don't have that, and if you don't read it, you don't have a clue as to what's taking place. Let's pick it up here in verse 1, Hebrews the 4th chapter. And someone will say, oh, this was written just to the Jews. No, it wasn't. It was written to the whole church. See, because Galatians 3:29 says that if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, there is neither male nor female, well, there is neither Jew nor Greek. You are all one in Christ. Now, let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, let us fear, lest perhaps a promise being left open to enter into his rest, any of you might seem to come short. Now, a lot of people say that this is the rest of going into the Holy Land, which is symbolic. But as we will see here in chapter 4, he is talking about the Sabbath day. Verse 2, for truly we had the gospel preached to us even as they did, but the preaching of the word did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith who heard it. Now, what does that mean? Now, if you hear the word of God, you are to believe it and obey it. That's faith. Here's another key. There's no faith whatsoever in breaking any of the commandments of God, because that is sin and transgression. Faith is you hear, you believe, and you obey. Now let's read on. For we who believe, we ourselves are entering into the rest. Now, what does he mean by that? What does he mean? We will see that means Sabbath keeping. That the New Testament Christians were Sabbath keepers. And you go into history and you find out that Sunday keeping came out of Rome as early as 60 AD because of their hatred of the Jews. Let's continue. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, showing that it's a choice. Do you enter into the rest of God? Do you choose that? Or do you want to go your own way? Now notice, he refers back to the creation. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, and we read at the beginning that the Sabbath in Genesis 2 was made holy and sanctified by God himself. Which means no man can change that. No man can add to or take away from that. That's why we have to believe, we have to obey, and we have to love God. All of those come through conversion, and Sabbath keeping is part of the conversion process. Most people don't understand that. If you don't keep the Sabbath and honor God and study his word and continually learn of God's way, how to live your life every Sabbath, as well as whatever prayer and study you do every day, then you are not really growing in grace and knowledge to be able to be raised from the dead in the resurrection when Jesus returns. Verse 4, and he spoke in a certain place about the seventh day in this manner. How many times did God say? How many times did God do it? How many times did God tell the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, keep the Sabbath? And God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. Now, why did God do that? So we could enter into his Sabbath. What does that mean? That means that we keep the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, which is the biblical way of understanding a beginning and ending of a day, from sunset to sunset. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists claim the Sabbath, but they have been so infiltrated by the Jesuits that they keep it from midnight Friday to midnight Saturday. God never said that. And they keep Christmas and they keep the Lord's Supper and all of that. They don't keep the Passover. So the Seventh-day Adventists are just barely clinging to the Sabbath, and that's all that they have left to separate them from being full-blown Protestants. So again, verse 5, he says, if they shall enter into my rest conditionally, because it's a choice we all have to make. What do you choose? Do you choose God's way and obey Him and Jesus Christ? Or do you believe the traditions of men and follow them because they're convenient and because the whole world does them? Really? Jesus said we're not to be part of the world. Let's read on. So verse 6, here it is right here. Consequently, that is, here's the sum of everything that I have written about up to this point. Since it remains for some to enter into it, there are those who keep the Sabbath, and those who had previously heard the gospel did not enter in because of disobedience. Verse 7 now. He marks out a certain day, today, saying in David, so long a time exactly as had been quoted above, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And that's what people do when they hear about the Sabbath. They harden their heart. They say, oh, that's for the Jews. Really? God made it for man. And the Jews weren't around for thousands of years after God sanctified the Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2. All right? Now then, he is showing here that Joshua did not bring them into the promised land for the complete rest that they could have had from all the wars, okay, and they started breaking the Sabbath immediately after Joshua and the elders died, as you read in the book of Judges. Verse 8 now, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken long afterwards of another day. Now notice verse 9. This is a plain, simple statement. This does not say that Jesus kept the Sabbath for you, so therefore you can do anything you want to. Not so, because that is licentiousness and that is sin. Now, so let's read verse 9, a very simple verse. There remains, therefore, Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Now, the Greek there is sabbatismos, which means exactly as it is translated. Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Who are the people of God? The people of God are those who believe in Jesus Christ. They are those who know that He was God manifested in the flesh. They are those who love God and keep His commandments. Let's just take a quick look at a scripture over here in Revelation 14, and let's see what it says about those who are Christians. Revelation 14 and verse 12. Here's the patient of the saints. Now, the saints are the ones not in heaven or statues around St. Peter's Basilica, because no one has ascended to heaven because the resurrection hasn't taken place. And there's no such thing as an immortal soul. Now, you need our book, Holy Spirit of God, Power of God, A Scriptural Perspective. And you need the book, Paul's Teachings on God's Law. Both of those books you need. All right, now verse 12, Revelation 14. Here is the patient of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now think about that for a minute. It's like I've said before. It takes faith to keep the commandments of God. See? And if you keep the commandments of God the way that God wants, then you have the faith of Jesus. Did Jesus always obey? Did Jesus always keep the Sabbath? Did Jesus always keep the holy days of God? Yes, of course, because he was God manifested in the flesh, who proclaimed them as the days that he requires us to keep. Now back to chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. So let's read verse 9 again. There remains, therefore, Sabbath keeping for the people of God. If they're keeping the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, doesn't that tell us that they're Sabbath keepers and holy day keepers? Yes. Now the question becomes, will any of us continue to argue against God? Do we have the gall to think that we know more than God? Do we have the presumptuous enough to say that we can tell God what to do? Will God obey any man? No. Let's read it. There remains therefore Sabbath keeping for the people of God. For the one who has entered into his rest, katapazin, and that's the rest that is in the Septuagint in Genesis, the second chapter, God rested, katapazin, meaning you enter into the Sabbath rest. He's also ceased from his works. No work on the Sabbath. No doing your pleasure on the Sabbath. Just as God did from his. God set the example because he rested. Right? And gave that for all of mankind. Well, before there was any Jew. How important is the Sabbath day? Verse 11. We should be diligent. Huh. That means always paying attention. Therefore, to enter into that rest, what is that? He just defined it. That rest is sabbatismos, keeping the Sabbath of God. Now notice what else this verse tells us. Lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. Really? Because you see, how many times did God tell the children of Israel, keep the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy? No, but they didn't do it. And the Jews today have so many laws that the meaning of the Sabbath has been lost.
Some of the slowest elevators in the world can be found in hotels on Miami Beach.
We have Orthodox Jewish people coming here for the season, for all year round. So the question is, how do people get to their homes, get to their rooms on the Sabbath if you're on a high floor? Sleeping in the lobby is not a solution.
The problem is, for observant Jews, it is forbidden to ride an elevator on the Sabbath.
The Bible simply says we do not make a fire on the Sabbath. When you push the button and create electricity, you're creating a fire. The door opens, there's all types of electricity, all types of labors are being done, and therefore that would be forbidden on the Sabbath.
The other problem is the electric eye in the elevator door.
The electric eye detects your presence, opens those doors again. Uh-oh, your body has opened those doors. If we interfere with the electric eye, it's just as bad as pushing the button.
So the rabbis, together with technology and science, will come up with a solution where they create the Sabbath elevator where there's no need to push any buttons.
We do have a Shabbat elevator for our Jewish customer. Our maintenance staff, typically around 5:30 in the evening, before the sun will set, will key the elevator where it goes straight to the rooftop, up to 17, and then we'll stop on every floor on the way down until it hits actually the basement level.
Coming down, the elevator takes about 7 minutes, stopping at every floor.
Now notice what happens, because we will be judged by the word of God and what we do. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of both the soul and spirit, and both the joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. God judges the heart. So we've covered this before, but let's look at it again, because this is so important. So if you have any doubts about the Sabbath, you need to understand this. There is no way you're going to have the blessing of God unless you do. And there is no way that it's going to happen unless you come to God and acknowledge that He created the Sabbath and that He commands us to keep it in the fourth commandment. And it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Sabbath is holy. You shall not do any work on it, you or any of your relatives or any of your servants. Why? Because that's the time you come close to God in keeping His word and studying His word. Now, let's see something else. Let's come to Romans, because a lot of people think in Romans the law has come to an end. Romans 9. In verse 29, accordingly, Isaiah also said before, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a seed, we should have become as Sodom and we should have been like Gomorrah. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not follow after righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness that is by faith? And you believe in Christ? You believe He's God manifested in the flesh? And by faith you keep His commandments. Now notice verse 31. But Israel, although they followed after a law of righteousness, which was what? Their own added laws. Again, found in the book of the Code of Jewish Law. After a law of righteousness, did not attain to a law of righteousness. In other words, he's saying their own righteous traditions can never bring them the righteousness of God. Never happen. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. They didn't believe God. They believed their own traditions. But by works of law, for they stumbled at the stone of stumbling, that is Christ. Exactly as it is written, behold, I place in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, but everyone who believes in Him shall not be ashamed. Let's see what Paul says in chapter 10, because here's a verse that looks like Christ ended the law. That's not what it means. Remember what it says up here, that Israel followed after a law of righteousness, that is, their own righteousness, but they didn't come to the righteousness of God. Chapter 10, verse 3, for they being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, isn't that what they're doing? Isn't Sunday keeping establishing your own righteousness? Isn't all the laws the Jews added to it seeking to establish their righteousness? Or are not all the traditions of the Catholic Church seeking their own righteousness? Yes. Notice what happens when you do that. have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now here's the famous verse, verse 4. Because they like to come here and say, Christ ended the law. But that's not what it means. Here is the correct translation. For Christ is the end of works of law. Those works of law were those laws that the Jews had made, where they even said, and Paul had to tell Cornelius, when he told Cornelius, when he came to him, and he was a Gentile, he was an Italian, he was a centurion, and God dealt with him and had him bring the apostle Peter down to him, and Peter said, you know that it is an unlawful thing for a Jew to associate with or keep company with or to eat with a Gentile. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now then, that was a code of Jewish law. For Christ is the end of works of law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He didn't end the laws of God. He ended all the traditions. He ended all of the works of men. And what did they do? Revelation 14:12. They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Those go hand in hand. Sabbath keeping is New Testament doctrine. Sabbath keeping is for the people of God. Sabbath keeping is for every human being on earth if they would believe God. But they won't. They want their own religion. They want their own way. And pretty soon, Satan's going to own the whole world. And then the greatest catastrophe in the history of mankind will unfold in a gigantic cataclysm of death and destruction because people reject God. Now that's tying it in with what we're looking at today. So yes, Sabbath keeping is what God requires. Traditions of men, God rejects. Righteousness of men to make themselves righteous to God, apart from the laws of God, or even connected to it, but added in addition to it, are not valid as Jesus said. Because if you worship God in tradition, you reject the commandment of God. And as we read, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And the judgment of God is going to come. And that's what we see with all the sin and chaos in the world. So once again, be sure and write in for the things that I have mentioned. Get the book, the Apostle Paul's teachings on God's laws. Get the book, the Holy Spirit, the power of God as a spiritual perspective. And get the book, Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.